case number 10,795, Elko Partnership, Verizon Wireless, northeast of Route 1, Coastal Highway, approximately 1,650 feet northwest of Road 206, Cedar Neck Road, with access through Nolak Acres, a special use exception to construct a 145-foot-tall telecommunications module with a 5-foot-tall lightning rod.
Good evening, members of the board.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
Do you want everybody who's going to testify to come up?
Yes, Mr. Burns, please. They can just form the line if you'd like them. Good down there, please.
You can take the lead, sir. Mr. Burrell, did I understand you correctly? It's an hour for each
side? 1 hour for each side.
Okay.
Okay. Young lady, have your name and address, please.
Sue Manchel. 433.
Just stay around here, but just one up one at a time. Give us your names.
Beverly Folly.
All right.
6521 Coastal Highway.
Okay, ma'am.
Emma Bursler, B-U-R-S-L-E-R. 8 White Crane Drive.
Andrew Peterson.
Sir?
Kenneth Farrell.
Right, your name's on the card, that's fine. We're just going to get them for the record. And your name,
Joel
sir?
Joel DeFreitas.
Okay. Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board. John Tracy from Young Conaway, Stargett and Taylor here on behalf of the applicant, Selco Partnership, doing business as Verizon Wireless. With us this evening is Andrew Peterson, our radio frequency engineer, Ken Farrell, and Joel DeFreitas from CMC Engineering, who are the civil engineer, Sue Manchel for site acquisition, Pam Bursler from W.R. McCain Associates, a real estate appraisal firm, and Beverly Thawley, who's the owner of the property upon which the tower is proposed to be located. As I believe the board is aware, this is an application for a new monopole telecommunications tower and equipment shelter. The tower itself is proposed to be 145 feet tall with a 5-foot lightning rod. It's located east of Route 1 and southeast of Milford, bordered by Route 1 to the south, Nolak Acres to the north, other lands of the property owner to the east, and lands owned by Mr. Wiggles LLC to the west. Access to the property, as you'll note from the site plan, can be through either Route 1 or through Thawley Lane at the rear of the property. As you'll hear during our presentation today, we've agreed at the request of the developer of the property not to be using Thawley Lane for purposes of access to the property. So all access to the site, even though, as I think the board is aware, it's very infrequent after the tower is built, will be from what Route 1 through the front of Ms. Thawley's property. No variances are being requested for the application, as the tower height does not exceed limitations, and street and side setbacks are met. As the board is aware, Selco and Verizon Wireless are the holders of an FCC license, giving us the right, privilege, and obligation to provide reliable cellular coverage to our subscribers. As per the terms of this license, Verizon is required to provide reliable coverage in the license area, or they risk losing the license. As times have evolved, more and more people, ranging from professionals, emergency personnel, and individual citizens, for lack of a better word, are relying more on cell phones to the point where they are ditching their landline service. This is used not only in cars, as I mentioned, but in homes, because when you're looking at a $50 or $60 phone bill on top of a cellular bill, it makes sense to drop the landline. In addition, you've got the new generation of smartphones, which add text and email capabilities, place additional demands on the service, which Mr. Peterson will be talking about in just a moment. As the use of cell phones expands, we have the obligation to look for gaps in coverage and to address that coverage gap when it becomes aware. As the maps that have been submitted as part of this application show, a gap exists in this area, creating, as you all are familiar from the Verizon commercials, the dreaded "Can you hear me now?" effect. When this occurs, Verizon sets out ways to try to address the gap in coverage. It should be noted that building a new tower is the least desirable alternative. It is obviously something that's significantly costly. Verizon prefers to co-locate, and as Mr. Peterson will testify, our other 5 locations in this area are all existing co-locations. With that, I'd like to go ahead and bring Mr. Peterson up to give the RF testimony regarding the standards and the statute. And I'm presuming, and Mr. Burrow or Ms. Isaacs can correct me, that the board has copies of all the submissions that we placed in the record. I have extra copies here if you need them. That's why I ask. Okay. If you could go ahead and state your name for the record.
Andrew Peterson.
And by whom are you employed?
DBM Engineering PC.
And are you the RF engineer who was charged with analyzing this particular site for Verizon?
I am.
If you could explain to the board, how does the company, how does any company, or in this instance Verizon Wireless, determine that there is a gap in coverage that needs to be addressed?
There are several methods. They range from customer complaints to network statistics, drop call rates, propagation modeling, and drive testing.
And what, if any, of those testing methods were utilized in this instance?
In this case, the propagation modeling that we'll talk about indicates there is a gap in coverage, as well as the network statistics for the area indicate a clear gap in coverage.
Now, when a gap in coverage is first determined to exist, does Verizon or any carrier, for that matter, attempt to utilize their existing infrastructure to deal with this problem?
Absolutely. Every attempt is made to leverage the existing infrastructure to address gaps in coverage. In this case, those attempts were made on the surrounding facilities. In fact, we'll talk about it a little further, but the site immediately to the northwest is the downtown Milford site on the water tank, and the antennas of that facility are pointed directly down Route 1 in an attempt to improve service in that direction, and that just hasn't fixed the problem in this case.
Okay. And is it correct that you prepared propagation maps that were submitted to the board?
I did.
Okay. Why don't we talk about the first map that you have up there? Why don't you walk the board through what that shows?
In an effort to be heard, I'll stay by the microphone.
You can turn, turn the microphone around.
Oh, okay.
Right there. Right around the other side of you.
First illustration we have before you, and I'll back up and give a background on what's before you. Local roads in kind of a tan color. The existing on-air facilities are illustrated with these black triangles, and they are numbered so that I can easily identify. And if you'd like, I can go through and tell you what kind of structure they're on, where they are, etc. The existing coverage from those facilities, what I would deem reliable coverage, is kind of this blue color. And the white areas, or lack of the blue color, indicates geography where there is a lack of reliable service.
And go ahead.
The red dot, kind of central to the exhibit, is the location of the proposed 145-foot facility.
Can you move that back a little bit? We can't see it right here.
Sure, I'm sorry.
And toward us.
Angle it more.
No, angle
it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I tried
to make everyone happy, but unfortunately, I don't think it's.
That's okay.
And in particular, this is showing problems with coverage in the Route 1 corridor, correct?
That's correct. There are roughly 3.5 linear miles of Route 1 from roughly the interchange of Business 1 with Route 1. All the way down to 36, where there is very spotty coverage. And that is the one of the coverage objectives for the facility, is provide reliable service along and around that stretch of Route 1.
What other coverage issues are we trying to address with this site?
The other coverage issues are the surrounding areas, providing good in-building and in-home coverage to those areas. There is also a capacity component of this facility, and that's to offload the traffic that's on, particularly the 130-degree facing sector of the site called Downtown Milford on the water tank. That sector is currently overloaded. It's currently performing well below industry standard as far as drop call rate, and with the advent of smartphones and all the data throughput,
that is now driving demand, the facility there is projected to be performing even worse a year from now, 2 years from now, where it will desperately need an offload.
And I think just for purposes of building the record, you had talked about a phenomenon previously that is called noise, essentially. Could you walk the board through what that phenomenon is?
Sure. As traffic increases on a facility, all of the subscribers contribute to the noise level from a signal-to-noise perspective. That's a bad thing. It's really that margin of signal-to-noise that defines the usability of that signal. And as the noise floor rises, the signal either has to be that much stronger, which is not really possible here because we're limited by physics as to how strong that signal is going to be. The only way to increase the strength of that signal is to move closer to where the signal is emanating from. So what happens is the coverage footprint will actually shrink. What's shown here is the coverage footprint without that noise component. When you add that in there during a busy hour, a rush hour along Route 1, the coverage footprint of each facility will shrink, and that will enlarge these white areas along Route 1 and cause an even greater problem during those busy hours.
Okay. One of the aspects, one of the statutory aspects that we have to address is examining sites within a 2 mile radius that are could potentially serve as a location for this tower. I'm correct, am I not, that there is one existing tower that's about a mile and a half away?
You are correct. It's okay. Southwest of the proposed.
Okay.
Zone by SBA.
And did we analyze that site?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And could that site be utilized to address this gap?
No, it cannot. If it could, Verizon's, they are inclined to co-locate where possible. It's a much more efficient means of providing coverage. In this case, the available SBA tower simply will not obviate the need for a facility along Route 1. So they could use it, but it won't solve the problem here. Mm-hmm. So we'll be before you again for another facility at this location or very close by along Route 1.
And in fact, in addition to the fact that it didn't completely cover the gap, it also creates a situation where you have redundant coverages, correct?
That's correct. Because it is about a mile and a half due southwest, it moves that facility closer to the downtown Milford site labeled 38, as well as the site labeled 240 to the south. What that'll do is create an overly redundant coverage situation. The sites need to have a little bit of redundant coverage to facilitate handoffs as a mobile device moves through the network. But any more than that is an overly redundant situation in which unnecessarily network resources are used, and that drives down the overall capacity of the network.
In fact, it has a negative impact on the coverage that's being provided by the existing sites, correct?
Effectively, yes.
Okay. If you could show the board the map of, well, I guess I should ask you to bridge that gap. Determining that the SBA tower did not work, did you do an analysis of what coverage would look like if we placed a tower at the location that we're talking about tonight?
At the proposed facility, yeah. Yes, I did.
Okay. If you could show the board that and then walk the board through the coverage issues.
Basically the same illustration as prior. The only change is the addition of this pinkish-hued coverage footprint, and that is the predicted coverage footprint of the facility as proposed.
And there's and this would provide obviously better in-vehicle and in-building coverage than what currently exists?
That's correct.
And does this address the gap in coverage that exists?
It does.
In fact, how big of an area of Route 1 and the surrounding properties are we covering with this?
Along Route 1, it's roughly 4.5 miles or so, 3.5 or 4 of which was prior served in a spotty manner at best. And then similarly to the west and north, there's roughly 4 miles linearly of coverage and 2 miles or so wide, so 8 square miles or so in each direction. So we're adding approximately 24 square miles.
Okay. Just a couple of follow-up questions. The tower is proposed, and this may be better asked of Mr. Farrell, but is it designed to accommodate two co-locators?
Yes, it is.
At a minimum. Additionally, one of the issues that is often brought up as a concern in these hearings is the proposed or alleged health effects from the emissions from such a tower. Now, as I think the board is aware, there's mandates in the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996 which determine to what degree, if at all, these such boards can consider the health effects. One of them is obviously it's incumbent upon us to demonstrate to you that we're satisfying the emission standards in the Act. So it's correct, is it not, that you prepared a report for the board's consideration in this regard?
That's correct.
Okay, and if you could walk the board through what that report states.
Sure. In a nutshell, we're using some upper limit assumptions for the facility. 100% duty cycle, main beam being pointed directly at where the calculation is made, we would be greater than 800 times below what the FCC considers safe levels for human exposure to radio frequency emissions.
So the FCC establishes a baseline and we fall 830 times below that baseline.
That's correct, under worst case assumptions.
That's
realistically,
what I was...
it's probably several thousand times below.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have for Mr. Peterson, unless the board has anything for him.
Mr. Peterson, do you typically do the radio frequency analysis for telecommunications companies and their applications?
I do, yes.
Okay. Is there a copy of your report or his report, Mr. Tracy?
Yes, all the reports
been made available
were all submitted as part of the application in accordance with the requirements of the board. I have extra copies if anybody needs them.
Okay, one question also. Are there any cell towers on Route 1 south of this property?
There are, but they're significantly southeast.
How far down are they? I'll get to you in a moment. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Roughly 4 miles or so. I think that they would...
They're right on Route 1.
Yeah, on 1 down by Bakerfield Road or so.
Bennett Farm? Bakerfield?
Yeah, I see Bakerfield on here. And I'm not familiar with the intimate details of how tall they are, who owns them, et cetera.
That's okay. I just want... And how about on 36? There's a cell tower. How far is that going to be from where you're at now?
36 is right around here, so that's...
Right.
That's about 3.5-4 miles. And a site down there, it simply wouldn't serve the need where there is a current gap in coverage. It wouldn't be an effective offload for the congested site, which is the water tank in Milford.
Okay.
But It likely also wouldn't extend up Route 1 to provide the coverage that you need?
That's correct.
Either one of them wouldn't. Either one of them would extend up the area to give you the coverage that you're looking for, the one on 36 or Route 1?
That's correct.
They wouldn't. Okay.
Yeah, they're simply too far southeast.
Okay. Are those Verizon towers, are they?
I don't think Verizon's on them, but although I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Right.
I don't think they're on them.
We're showing the black, just for the black sites that are shown on this are the existing Verizon towers that are in this particular area, in the immediate Milford area.
They're so far removed from the immediate area, they're kind of out of play, but they would be displayed here, so I can say with certainty that Verizon is not co-located on.
Okay.
Of the what you're calling Verizon towers, those are towers owned by Verizon?
Not necessarily, okay. Although their equipment is there.
Okay.
And they're the ones displayed with the black triangle.
I got you.
In fact, I think just based on the report, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, those are all existing things that Verizon's co-located on.
Okay.
That's correct.
I believe that's accurate.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had. Anybody?
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Unless you have any other questions for him, I was going to bring Mr. Farrell up.
So those are not all like the water tower in town. The others are not necessarily towers. They could be other structures?
Correct.
Okay.
I think they all are.
I think they all are towers.
I think the water tank is the only quote, tower structure, but...
You'll note in one of the reports that we submitted, it's either the radio frequency analysis or the circle with the 2 mile radius. All of those five towers are listed in that report. And what they are, whether they're a co-location or a tower.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to bring Ken Farrell from CMC Engineering. While he's coming up, I'm going to hand this to Mr. Isaacs for distribution.
Okay.
What I've handed up to Ms. Isaac for distribution to the board is a report from a structural component of CMC Engineering. Mr. DeFreitas is here to testify if the board has any questions for him. Mr. Farrell is involved in doing the site plan, which is why he's up here to testify. But if there are any structural questions, I can bring Mr. DeFreitas up. Ken, if you could state your name and occupation for the board.
My name is Kenneth Farrell. I'm the manager of engineering services for CMC Engineering.
Okay, and if you could, what's been your involvement in this project?
Excuse me.
CMC Engineering prepared the site plan for the proposed tower, the site surveying, the site planning, to show the location on the property.
Okay, and if you could you show the board that site plan?
In the submitted set of plans on sheet S1, you can see in the upper left-hand corner, which is the northern part of the property, is a proposed cell tower that is going it's going in an area of the property that is not planted crop. The balance of the property that will be in front of it is what is basically plowed and planted at this time. The compound is set back roughly 176 feet from the property line, and then property 25 feet more into the compound, plus 25 feet more. We're proposing, it's a 145-foot tower with a lightning rod for 150 feet. That is in compliance with the ordinance. At the base of the tower, it's going to be a compound, roughly 50 by 50, surrounded by a fence, a stone compound, so there's no impervious. An approximately 12 by 30-foot equipment shelter is at the base, which houses all of the Verizon telephone equipment, switching equipment to make the cell site run.
How many antennas are proposed currently for the tower?
Approximately 12.
Okay, and that would be one array, correct?
It would be four per face. There's three arrays, just like a triangle. There's three faces to a triangle, and it would be four antennas per face for 12.
And I'm correct that the tower would be designed to accommodate two co-locators and consistent with the ordinance?
That is correct, and that's why the compound is large enough to accommodate the ground space for the future co-locators.
And the tower as well will have the required warning lights every 50 feet per the ordinance?
That is correct.
Am I not, that access to this compound is proposed to be taken from Route 1 as opposed to through Thawley Lane, correct?
It is now. Okay. Originally, we were proposing to come through the access easement on Thawley Lane, but now we are coming through the property from Route 1. We're going to come basically dissecting the property to the rear, and then we'll run along the rear property and into the cell tower.
And I'm correct that was done as an accommodation at the request of the developer of the neighboring parcel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I might say is that the reason the location of the driveway is along the rear property line is, again, because of the crops, the planted field. We're trying to minimize the impact of that as much as possible. So that's why we're running the driveway along the rear, and that's why the location of the tower is placed where it is.
And that's actually the way that the property owner currently accesses the property, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. You mentioned the fencing. I don't think this is shown in the, and actually I'll back up for a second, for the board's purposes and Mr. Burrell's purposes. We would have no objection to a condition being placed on any form of approval that would require access for purposes of the cell phone operation to occur from Route 1 and to prohibit access through Thawley Lane and through Nolak Acres to the rear. Again, as I think this board is aware, construction takes roughly a week, and then you have roughly 9 to 12 trips a year from a passenger van or SUV to go visit these things for maintenance purposes. It's correct. I'm correct, am I not, that Verizon has agreed to make the fencing around the equipment shelter to be opaque, that is, to not be chain link, but to block?
Yes, the plans currently show detail for the chain link. but we would agree to some type of a wood fence, board on board, et cetera, something that would not be able to see into the compound.
Okay. And it's correct that the compound and the shelter adhere to all Sussex County requirements?
Yes.
There are, as you are aware from these hearings, typically some concerns raised with regard to safety. If you could you address a little bit how we deal with the potential for lightning strikes on this tower?
This when they go to build this site, it's 145-foot tower, has a 5-foot lightning rod. Lightning rod is obviously the tallest part of the structure. It's complete with a grounding system in the ground when they come through to do the construction. They do a pre-ground test and a post-ground test to make sure that the grounding mechanism or the amount of cabling in the ground is enough to handle a lightning strike or enough to handle the grounding necessary for the ground where the compound's located. So it's a complete, so if it was to be hit by lightning, the grounding system, the antennas, everything is grounded, and it would be absorbed, obviously, into the ground like some houses have it. It's a standard, industry standard. It's no different. It's, again, it's a safe structure. If it is hit by lightning, the lightning mechanism, the lightning rod, it'd all be handled, be able to handle what the lightning strike. I mean, it's a very vanilla type thing. It's a very industry standard type thing. And all of the proposed antennas, towers, even antennas on rooftops, etc., have this type of system on.
In addition, there's often concern expressed with regard to the collapse of these particular structures. Now, I think foremost in terms of addressing this, I'm correct, am I not, that were this tower to collapse, for lack of a better description, like a tree, that collapse would bring it within Ms. Thawley's property, and it would not, in fact, go into anyone else's property, correct?
Well, you're correct. These type of structures do not fall like a bowling pin. These type of structures are designed with mechanisms that they kind of collapse upon themselves, and if there was a wind event that would make it go, it would bend upon itself, and then it would bend to a point where the wind event would stop. They don't fall over like bowling pins. But even if, God forbid, let's say it did, we are more than the distance from the property line, so even if it would fall, it would still be within the landlord's property. It would not be on any adjacent property. It would not affect any adjacent residents if it was to do that, but they don't do that. They're designed to collapse upon themselves.
Okay. That's all I have for Mr. Farrell, unless the board has any questions for him.
Anybody, any member have a question?
Question, I think the last time we had one catch on fire. You see it bent over? That collapsed that way, right? They caught on fire inside a tower?
I guess a lot of it would depend on what is catching on fire, are the cables, how hot it gets. I know there's stuff on the internet, and I also know there was something on the internet where the actual fire department pushed it over because it caught on fire. The one that I had seen, it was actually what had happened was there was welders up there doing some work, and the welders is what caught on fire. It wasn't the equipment or anything didn't catch on fire. It was actually human error. So I mean, just like I guess anything else, can it catch on fire while you have coax cable, which is rubber, which I guess that could, yes.
But the reality is, even if we're to collapse by a fire event, which is extremely, I think you would agree, rare, it would be within the property owner's property.
That's correct. Even if it did fall like a bowling pin, it would still be within our property.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. With the board's indulgence, I'll have Ms. Bursler come up and testify. As we start, I'm distributing a copy of Ms. Bursler's. She prepared an appraisal report for this particular application. I'm distributing copies of that now. If you could, Ms. Bursler, could you state your name and occupation for the record?
Pamela Bursler, and I'm a commercial real estate appraiser.
And if you could give the board a brief narrative of your background.
I have a Bachelor's of Arts degree from Wilson College, a Master of Arts from Central Connecticut State University, and I've been doing appraisal work, both residential and commercial, for the past 8 years. I am a certified general appraiser in the state of Delaware as well as Maryland and Virginia. I am certified for Yellow Book, which is the federal standards for land acquisition, and I'm also certified as a right-of-way appraiser.
And I'm correct, am I not, that you are currently conducting appraisals on behalf of DelDOT?
I am.
And one of those actually is for several properties near to this, correct?
That's correct.
The board may or may not be familiar, but DelDOT is currently planning some significant intersection improvements in the area of this property, and Ms. Bursler has been involved on behalf of DelDOT with that. One aspect that seems to always become an issue of contention in these matters is the impact of cell phone towers and cell phone monopoles on property values. Have you researched this issue before?
We have. We have conducted market studies for both cell towers and also for high voltage power lines, which are very similar because of the nature of the structure itself.
And if you could give the board, I know we provided the board a copy of your report, and something tells me they'll have some ample time to read it. But if you could walk the board kind of generally through what your findings have shown with regard to the properties you've studied in the Delaware and surrounding areas.
We have, and I'm going to actually use the easel for this too. Looked at both national research as it relates to cell towers and their impact on residential property values, and we've also done some regional analysis, particularly in the lower Sussex County area and northern Worcester County areas. Based on the national research that we looked at, Sandy Bond, who is a PhD, had indicated, based on several studies that she did, that any effect is typically diminished with the distance from the tower and was almost negligible after 365 feet. Alan Doran, who is an MAI, which is similar to a Master of Arts but for appraisal, had said that there was no consistent market evidence suggesting that there was any negative impact on the property value of improved residential properties exposed to communications towers. We also did regional sales data, and to do this we used paired sales analysis, which is the most accepted form of determining the impact. What that means is you look at a property that has that proximity to the communications tower, and then you look at a similar property, preferably within the same neighborhood, that doesn't have that proximity. They sold at a similar time. They are similar in size, both the structure as well as the lot. And we look at those, and then we determine what the difference was in value. As a result of that, the three properties, the three subdivisions that we actually looked at, the first one was Swan Cove, which is located along Route 54 west of Fenwick, between Fenwick and Selbyville. This tower, which is a monopole, and to give you an idea of height on it, it's 150 feet, and it is actually located behind the Casual Designs Furniture Store, and you can see it slightly right there. Between the tower and the Swan Cove neighborhood, there is a stormwater pond. This is a new development. The tower was here prior to the development. We looked at sales of homes that were closest in proximity to the tower. The nearest home to the tower is about 300 feet away. And then we looked at other sales of homes that were at the back of the subdivision, further from the tower. And what we found was that the price differentials were between minus 3% and 15% to the plus. So in some cases, these homes sold for something higher than the ones that are at the back of the subdivision.
And that's, you looked at, just again, because we have some limitation on time and this evidence is in the report that we provided you, the other two communities that you looked at, one in Worcester County and the other one was
in
Worcester County. Similar results, it's fair to say, were determined. So then your expert opinion, well, I guess first of all, what you found from a local analysis was consistent with what the national data has showed with regard to this, correct?
That is correct.
And is it fair to say that as you get to a point where you're 300 feet or more away from a cellular structure, that you have at best a negligible impact and quite as likely no impact on the property values? I don't have any, well, I guess one of the questions I had to ask you is Ms. Thawley will testify to in a moment, this property upon which the tower is being located is an active farm with livestock operation, crop operations, and things of that nature. To the extent there's any impact on property value, could it be fairly argued that that impact would be related to the ongoing agricultural operations as much or as little as the tower?
You know, it's all variable based on the purchaser. Some people like to be next to a farm, some don't, but in general, our experience, there hasn't been any impact on value as a result of that.
And likely with regard to towers, it's because they don't make any noise, they don't make any smells, they don't make any sounds, which is also noise. They just basically sit there, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. I have no more questions for Ms. Bursler unless the board does.
Any questions from members of the board?
I'd like to bring the property owner, Ms. Thalia.
Okay.
Ms. Thalia, if you could give the board your name for the record.
Beverly Thalia.
And how long have you resided at the property?
Since 1966. The farm has been in my family since 1949. I have the deed to the property that goes back to 1856, so it's been farming at least that long.
And you presently do farm the property, correct?
Yes, yes.
If you could walk the board through the different types of operations that you have or that you will have this year as far as farming is concerned.
This year we're going to have hay and lima beans.
And then in additional, you have some different animals living on the farm, correct?
I have miniature horses. Which I've been raising for the past 20 years.
Okay. As well as a fair number of beagles, correct?
Lots of dogs.
And you anticipate the crop operations to continue this year, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And in fact, your farm once contained the property that was Nolak Acres, too,
yes,
right?
It did.
And in fact, you, along with a former neighbor of yours, were responsible for getting that subdivision plan approved, correct?
Yes, it was my idea.
And as part of it, you took some steps to both protect your rights as well as to insulate others from what was going on. It's correct, is it not, that there's a 30-foot buffer between the end of your property and the beginning of the lots on the next property?
Yes, there is.
And originally there was supposed to be a berm there, correct?
There was a berm at one time, but it was removed, not my choice, not by me.
And it's correct that a fence has been put there in its place?
Yes, there's a chain link fence around the perimeter of the farm adjacent to Nolak Acres. And there is a gate in the back, which some people have access to.
And that's the gate that we talked about earlier, and you agreed that you would not allow the Verizon Wireless to use that access to get into your property, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And except for the rectangle that's shown on the plans where this tower is proposed, the rest of the property, the rest of your property is actively farmed, correct?
Yes, it is.
And that is everything that comes with it, from the watering to the spraying to the planting to the tilling and everything.
Yes,
else.
And we have some sheep that are coming. They've had their lambs, so having some sheep.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to let the board know about this tower or your operations on the property?
No, at this point, it is zoned for farmland. I'm considering other options as far as things that could be done still within the limits of the law regarding farming. I look at the cell tower as not making noise. It doesn't smell. Hogs smell. Chickens smell. Cattle smell. There's a fly problem with them. But within the zoning of the farming, those are all permitted uses. And at this point, I'm considering all my options.
And that's obviously to financially keep the farm.
Yeah, to financially keep it going. Most of you are familiar with farming. It's tough these days. Mm-hmm. And you got to do various things to keep a farm afloat.
Okay. Does the board have any questions for Ms. Thawley?
Any members? No.
I just have one. Have you had any complaints from your neighbors to the rear of your farm?
No.
About farming, you're asking specifically?
About farming, about your agricultural operations.
No.
Yes.
No, and we try to be very careful not to offend people. And we've tried to be a good neighbor. We have one neighbor that has a work truck that he has to bring home if he's on call for Delaware Co-op during storms and stuff. And one of his neighbors complained about it being in the development. So we gave him the code to the gate, and he parks his truck there. So if he's called out, he can go on an emergency.
Then also something else real briefly. You spoke about the berm. That was,
yes.
It was removed.
Yes.
Was the berm part of the planned residential community in the rear?
I think to answer your question from a land use perspective, Mr. Hudson, it was part of the contract of sale from Ms. Thawley to Mr. Fowler, who bought the property from Ms. Thawley. When the subdivision plan was approved, it was not carried forward and placed as a note on the plan. So legally, there was nothing that would have prevented it from being removed. The intent was there in the original sale, but it wasn't carried through in the next sale.
Thank you.
It was to have been seeded and planted with Leland cypress to act as a buffer, but we had those 3 years of drought, and we didn't plant the trees because of the drought. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thawley. As the board is, I'm sure, not surprised, we've become aware of a fair amount of opposition. I don't think most of the people in here are to speak in favor of the application. But we are aware of what some of those concerns were, because Ms. Thawley was obtained a copy of what was being circulated in the community. So I wanted to take the opportunity to address at least some of those up front. They had raised four concerns in the document that Ms. Thawley was given. One dealt with property values and access. Obviously, we presented testimony from Ms. Bursler regarding the property value issue, which the board will consider. The other part of that component was access. They did not want access coming through Nolak Acres and into the rear of the property. As I've said, we've agreed not to do that and take our access through a different location. A second issue that was raised was the long-term health effects from these types of towers. As the board is familiar and as we've already placed in front of you, we fall significantly below the minimum thresholds established as part of the Federal Telecommunications Act. Another concern that was raised was expressed over the advent of technology and what will happen if these towers are no longer needed. I don't think we're there yet. I mean, people talk about rumors of different technologies, but they're certainly a long ways away. But beyond that, both the agreement between Verizon and the property owner, as well as the ordinance that you all operate, states that if the tower is no longer being operated, it has to be removed. It can't just sit there as a monument to technology's past. The other issue that was raised, at least in the document I saw, concerned impacts on migratory birds. And I don't know whether this board has had to deal with this issue previously. This is something that first came to my attention in Kent County. There are concerns. There's been phenomenons, particularly in the Midwest, where you have much taller structures of massive bird strikes that have occurred. What I've handed up to you are sighting guidelines that were suggested by the United States Department of Interior, the Fish and Wildlife Service. I mentioned these are guidelines, but I think what you'll notice is the three things they're principally concerned with are structures that are 200 feet or taller, which this is not, structures that employ the use of guy wires, which this does not, and structures with blinking, flashing, and strobing lights. Obviously, we do have we will probably have two lights on this tower, I think, based on the math of a 145-foot tall tower. Those are, of course, mandated by the Sussex County Code. But beyond that, falling below the height limitation and falling below the, or not including guy wires, I think that these recommendations are stuff that is, quite frankly, not addressed towards structures of the current height that we're proposing. Lastly, there is a legal standard that we're required to address. This is a special use exception, which means the sole standard beyond meeting the requirements particular to a tower is that the use will not substantially adversely affect the uses of adjoining and neighboring properties. As this operation requires no variances, this is the standard, and the standard is no substantial adverse impact. The word substantial is not included by accident. Indeed, cases on statutory construction dictate that this word was intentionally included and must be given its usual and customary import. To that end, for a complying application to be denied, the impact of any on neighboring uses must not be just adverse. It has to be substantially adverse. And I would argue in this instance, no such substantial adverse impact can be shown. Mr. Peterson's testimony demonstrated the need for the new tower. There's a significant gap in coverage as well as capacity issues at existing locations. We've provided testimony as to why the one structure that's located within the two-mile ring cannot address this concern. The site poses no adverse impacts on adjoining properties. There are no noise or odors emitted, no flashing lights attached. It doesn't create any kind of burden on county or municipal services, no sewer, water, or school impact. It doesn't generate traffic impact, less than 12 trips a year, as we discussed. And again, as I mentioned, we won't be utilizing the access through the rear neighbor yard. Concerns have been expressed previously. I'm sure this board is aware and may even hear tonight regarding safety issues associated with such towers. We've provided information regarding the structural capabilities of this tower. In addition, I think we've made it clear that were something catastrophic to happen to this tower, its collapse or its fall or its damage would occur within the subject property and not on any neighbor's property. We've also provided testimony for the board's consideration and review regarding the lack of any impact on residential property values. In addition, particularly when you're in a situation adjacent to ongoing and existing farm operations. So with that, I thank the board for its attention. We certainly answer any questions, or if the board indulges. I haven't finished yet, so Ms. Thawley can make one additional comment with the board's indulgence.
I would also like to point out that if I make a change in the type of farming that I do, according to documents which are on file here in the courthouse, I have access to the rear of the farm through Thawley Lane and the back gate, which would mean other types of agricultural equipment possibly coming through the development. But that is recorded on the deed.
Ms. Thawley is referring to an access easement when she sold the property to the adjoining property owner, Bestfield Homes, predecessor in interest, which reserved her right to use that rear access for her existing agricultural operations, as well as, I would argue, any operations. But it wasn't a battle worth discussing for tonight. It was much easier to simply say we aren't going to use it. But in making that, and I made this clear to the developer's attorney, we're not expressing any limitations on what Ms. Thawley wants to do with her existing operations. We're just speaking specifically that we would not be using this for the cell phone construction and then the ongoing maintenance.
One of the things that I discovered with the advent of Route 1 to the beach, the traffic sometimes is really, really bad in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I made sure that when I designed the development many years ago, I made sure I would always have access to the farm, even if I had to come through the back gate and up Thawley Road, mm-hmm. because I have been to various DLDOT meetings, and one of the gentlemen told me that there was a possibility that they would sometime maybe deny me more access. So you never know what they're...
Oh, that really isn't important for us.
Okay. I still have access.
Understood.
Okay.
And that we're only interested in how this affects the cell tower and this application.
Okay.
And
all right.
Other real estate issues are not before the board.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. Unless there's any questions, we'll wait till rebuttal. Okay.
Are there any further questions from members of the board?
Yeah, the cell tower being removed, is that the building and everything?
Everything associated with the tower would have to be removed.
Not the concrete?
Yes.
Yes. Per the agreement with Ms. Thawley has for this particular location.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Calloway.
Okay. I'll go now. Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Can you keep your hands up, please? One, two, okay. One, two, three, four, five, seven. Two over here, 37, the best I can count. I would like to ask, is there a spokesman for the group first? If not, are you going to be a spokesman?
We're going to go in order, and we'll call each person behind the lead person. It's okay with you all.
How many people
wishing to speak?
For my benefit, how many total do you think?
10, 12.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people.
Why don't we
do 5 and then 4, just as I swear them in groups. So why don't you have me send up your first 5.
Okay. If you would, please.
We'll get them sworn in, then we'll do your second group after that.
Thank you.
Give her your name and address, please.
Laura West, 30106 Stagecoach Circle.
Okay. Just stay right here, ma'am.
Marvin Munson.
What's your last name?
Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. Any order you prefer. Just announce your names again when you begin to speak, if you would.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, members of the board. I'm Laura West, Sussex County Realtor with RE/MAX. I also own a home in the development, and I also have one for sale currently in the development. And we've heard it all the time, location, 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 on HGTV, news items, and all that, that it is important. It does devalue your property. When we moved into one of the oldest homes, it was built in 2003. We moved in 2006 because it was the sales home for the original developer. So he purchased that land from Mrs. Thawley in 2003, which was at the height of the pricing for land. As we all know, economically, that has been devalued. Most of the homes in there started out with a 300, 400 and up range. So my client particularly, we have it on sale right now for $335, which is way below what she has had in that property, and that's just from the economics. When you're talking about devaluating our property, you're talking about we now, as realtors, have to disclose everything. The minute you put disclosed cell tower going to be there, that is going to put a stigma on that property. We all know that. Most of the cell towers now are on farms that have no developments anywhere near them. And I noticed the appraiser said that the nearest house to the one that she was saying in Fenwick was 300 feet. That is not going to be the case. He told us it's 150 feet from that property line, and those are where our houses are. One right now being built. Under structure, do you think that those people may or may not want to go through with it as soon as they find out there's going to be a tower right in their backyard? Where do I go from there? Okay. I have a list of sites where people have fought cell towers throughout the nation, and most recently Bethany Beach, and they won. It was a 3-year fight, and they won just recently, April 18th. They did not want that in their area. And also, being a realtor, I have no problem with my cell usage at this point, and I go all over. The only point that it really drops off for me is when I'm going the back way to get 301 when 404 traffic is bad, and I'm near Cherry Hill Road and something. So, and I go all over Sussex, all over Kent, and I have never been lost communication. Real estate, I've picked off a site, and I will pass this to you guys. Real estate devaluation due to cell phone tower siting. Environmental hazards to avoid when buying, selling, or maintaining a home. Available at the state's appraisal board library. Wireless base stations are included in the list of 50. So it does stigmatize your property. Also, and it has a website. Also, there's another website where 1998 American Board Association Contamination and Environment, the influence of property valuations for tax purposes, microwave and cellular towers are included in that list of stigma. and I can give you all of this, and this is more of the, let's see, in a recent cellular telephone versus Hohokus, New Jersey. The real estate appraiser there paired the sales study showing negative effect of sale price on homes near the cellular base stations. They also, in one of these meetings, it was stated that two cases where courts said it did not require proof that power lines or telecommunication lines posed a health risk or our property values. It only was the perception. And believe me, I deal with perceptions all the time with properties. And one of the things we say is location, location, location. And if we're not getting any interest, then price reduction. So we would definitely have our property prices devalued. Finally, there's a cell towers and communities, the struggle for local control, written by B. Blake Leavitt. This was in, you can get it online, and he is a medical and science journalist and a former New York Times writer. And he basically states that the telecommunications would love to have the federal law require, you know, for all 50 states, because they do not want to have to meet every town USA where the hard questions are being asked by the assuming the risk. Efforts should be made to rein in this industry until appropriate federal research is done, studies in long-term, low-level, non-thermal exposures, like those encountered by the people who live near the installations. Legislation that returns control to municipalities needs support. Zoning officials must be encouraged to keep installations away from people. This is not and never was just the appearance of the towers, the ugliness of them. And last thing, there is some differences in between what Mrs. Thawley said and what we understood, and I would like clarification. When we first moved there, the berm was there, which she said she did not want taken out. However, we were told by the administration that's there now that it was because of her that it was taken out. So I have no idea. But the fact was that berm gave us no sound from the road, and also the dogs that bark continually around her property to protect the horses from fox, I understand. But the next thing is, like I said, she sold us, sold the first builder that property when prices were high. There are lots in there that sold for $150,000, and not necessarily by her, but by the first builder. And we are definitely going to see even further devaluation of our properties. I can leave this as the... Oh, and another thing, here is the map, and I wished it was larger, but we are totally surrounded now. We have been annexed by the city of Milford, Ward 1, and even part of her farm has been annexed. So that is another concern that we have. What is that going to mean if a tower is where the annexation is? Do y'all have any questions?
Is there any questions from members of the board?
Yes, Mrs. West, is it? Mrs. West?
Yes.
Yes. You have a real estate license, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. A broker's license or just regular?
Just real estate. I didn't feel it necessary. I've been in real estate in 2003 in this area, but initially my husband was with IBM, so we moved a lot, so we bought and sold houses, so you know, really familiar with real estate and what it is done.
Okay. And have you done appraisals yourself?
No, sir, I have not done appraisals.
Okay. And do you have any...
We only do marketing analysis.
Okay. Do you have any comparisons as far as towers versus no towers in the sales?
I don't, because, to be honest with you, most of the towers around here are on, like, the one 4.2 miles. It's a chicken farm, and there is no housing around it whatsoever. I do know that Bethany Beach won their fight, and they said in the Cape Gazette, this was the article written after April 18th, that property values would drop 15-30%. And I can trust that our property values being on the east side of one.
Who said that?
It was in the Cape Gazette. When they won, and I'm sure there was statistics brought up at that. So there is not going to be a cell tower in Bethany Beach from AT&T there.
Right, we made that motion.
Yeah. Any other questions? I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice because of all this pollen. I've been sick for a week.
I understand.
No, I don't think there's any other question, ma'am. Okay. Thank you.
The next person is Marvin Lindsay.
I'm going to make sure you give your paperwork to the young lady at the end if you want the board to look at it.
I have to keep this. Is that okay?
Thank you for having me tonight.
Yes, sir.
And my name is Marvin Munsing. And first, I just wanted to show you a picture of what they are proposing to build in our backyard. I don't know about you, but I really don't want to be grilling burgers in my backyard and have to look at this every night. Most people would not. So I'll just pass this around. So looking at the map, the good news that I have for Verizon is that according to their own information on their own website, they actually, and I'll put this up for you, got that. I'll pass this around. According to their website, they actually have perfect coverage in our area. I have been a Verizon wireless customer for 12 years. I have lived all over Delaware, and right now I have the best cell phone coverage I have ever had in 12 years. I have full bars in my house, which is one of the closest houses to where they're proposing to build this tower. So as you see from their own website, it differentiates from their map. Hopefully the company has truth in advertising, and that's the truth, that they don't have a coverage gap there. So the next piece of evidence I'd like to show is a map of the area. And I apologize, I've only got one of each, but if you could pass it around. That's an aerial view of our development. The red X is where they're proposing to build the tower, and the red circle around it is a 1 mile square radius. Inside that 1 mile square radius is over 300 residential homes. That's over 300 residential homes that, as we've discussed, their property value will be diminished for the gains of one farmer to be able to make a little bit of a profit. And obviously Verizon really doesn't need this coverage according to what they put out to the public. I have two more maps, each of which are 1 mile from the proposed site, that if they were to build in these farm areas, they would affect much fewer homes, as many as a dozen homes. One of which is 1 mile east of the proposed location, and one, I apologize, I believe is 2 miles north of the proposed location. But as they said in their testimony, they're looking at gaining 12 mile square footage. So moving in a mile east would assumably be sufficient for what they're trying to do if they really need the coverage. They also did not consider, there is a 100-foot steel power line pole. It's south of the proposed location, 1.2 miles. It's just south of Sarah Glen Acres. And they are required to allow cell phone towers to build on top of those, which they did not mention in the case. But there's a third location that they could possibly build this on that would, again, affect much less people because it's already there. So, do I have any questions?
I didn't remember having any questions at this time.
Well, so you said, you stated that it would have effect on property values. Is that opinion, or do you have something to support that?
No, I'm going on the testimony of our realtor, as well as the readings that I've done and the research that's been done in Bethany and in other communities that have defeated the cell phone towers.
Thank you.
Derek is next. Derek Sickler.
Name is Erwin Sickler, 30101 Stagecoach Circle. I'd just like to speak in light of new technology coming out, just from an internet website that I was doing some research on. They've developed a light radio cube, that's what it's called. It's like the size of a Rubik's Cube that you can mount on existing poles, inside structures, outside of structures, lampposts, et cetera. Anywhere there's an electrical and network connection, these things can be installed. And the capability of it will wipe these towers out. They're stronger, provide better service, better signals, Wi-Fi connections, et cetera. And the technology is, I know they said it's a ways down the road, but they just had Spain. Hang on, let me look here. They just had a technology seminar, I guess you'd say, where everybody brought their new technology to the plate, and this was one of the main things they're trying to sell. September, they're starting to shop it around to some of the wireless customers, and they're hoping to put it on the market at the beginning of 2012. So my complaint is, with this new technology right around the corner, why build this structure right in our backyard for us to look at every night? Just put it somewhere else. And I have the information here I got my research from. Next person to speak is Kumba. Thank you.
Hello.
that end, if you would, please.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll take them all and I'll pass it.
Thank you. You know, I'm really happy. The paper they're passing before you, the articles I cited were written by Dr. Sandy Bond. You had the real talking about it. Now, that study was in this country, in Florida. This is my testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, for the record, my name is Komba Pakiwa. My last name is pronounced P-A-K-I-W-A, Pakiwa. The K in my first name is silent. My wife and I own and live on 30063 Stagecoach Circle, Milford, Delaware, 19963. Our house is situated in a housing development that is generally referred to as the Bestfield Development Community in Nolak Acres. I'm 66 years old and retired from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from Duquesne University. I also have a Master's degree in Public and International Affairs from the Graduate School of Public and International Affairs, University of Pittsburgh. Additionally, prior to my retirement, I combined work and postgraduate education to receive a PhD candidate status from the Pennsylvania School of Public Affairs. You wonder why didn't you continue? When I came down here after retirement, I was struck by cancer. By the time I could recover, I couldn't go back to school. I'm still working on it. The highlights of my 3-year professional work experience with the Commonwealth include 10 years with the governor's office as a staff economist and a policy analyst, 19 years with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, and about 2 years with the Pennsylvania State Police, respectively, as the manager of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Assistance Program. If you do all see the police stopping trucks around in Pennsylvania, I was the man. This program is designed to reduce the number of commercial truck accidents and fatalities. Today, I stand before the board, this board, knowing full well that it has the power to let the talks about placing a 145-foot tall communication manhole with 5-foot tall lightning rod in my residential neighborhood go away. You have the power. Need I say that a stop to this proposal would be a wise investment by this board in the present and future standard of living and quality of life for the people who are currently in the impacted area. A few minutes ago, I told you about Dr. Bond. Bingo, here's Dr. Bond talking to you because I read the story. And if you look at my title is The Negative Pricing Effects of Cell Phone Towers on Residential Properties. It was written by Dr. Bond. Research indicates that cell phone towers have a real negative effect on residential property valuation. We had some professional real estate evaluator telling you that the Julian Bond only said about 2%, and in fact, prices went up. Bingo. If you look, because of my background, you do not give information to authorities who make decisions without facts. Mine is documented, the same document, address giving. This is what it said. Research indicates that cell phone towers have a real negative effect on residential property valuation. Particularly, they have a very negative valuation effect on the pricing of residential properties for sale in the tower-affected areas by real estate professionals. Now, it's not my word. Julian Bond, the guy that was cited here to be a reputable person nationally to do the study, he's telling you this now. To maximize to maximize my 3 minutes of time, here are the highlights of a growing body of evidence regarding the negative value effects of cell phone towers on house prices based on the Florida study. First, a transaction-based market study that included 4,282 property sales data between 1986 and 2002 and used a before and after analysis model has concluded that cell tower nearness decreases house prices by 20.7 to 21%. That's Julian Bond's report. So to suggest it doesn't, it does. Second, an opinion study that was in that study that included residents in 5 case study areas with 100 feet of a cell tower and 5 control areas with 0.6 of a mile from a cell phone tower and used 800 questionnaires that had 46% rate of return, has concluded in both cases that the impact of proximity to towers on future property values is an issue of the greatest concern when purchasing a house. So it is not, I'm not creating those. Mr. Bond said that. His reputation has already been given to you. In part, 38% of the control group said the tower would reduce the price of their property values by 20%. In other words, if you're going to buy a house, if somebody were to buy if you're buying a house in this, where they have this tower, would you pay full price? And I said, no, I won't pay full price. And one of the measures, the effect that Dr. Bond presented in his article is that it's going to drop by 15%. And that's an opinion survey. One third of the study group said it will reduce it by 1 to 9%. 24% of the study group would also reduce property values by 10 to 19%. So either way, you are going to lose money. Let's take, for example, a property right now that is about $60,000. And for tax purposes, you pay $30,000, half of it. Imagine this $60,000 home in this tight economy, knock it off by 20% if it's going to sell it, just like an instant when you put that tire up. Now, or knock it by 21%. Because there's no dispute about it doesn't decrease values. It does decrease values of property. That person will be devastated, like me. Third, applications of quantitative analysis techniques to the aforementioned opinion survey data affirmed that proximity to cell towers reduced residential property prices by 15%. Again, Bond is giving us this data based on the Florida study. In short, the Florida study affirms a cause and effect relationship between negative changes in residential property prices and the nearness to a tower. That's the man that the proponent of this tower presented. He cited him. I went in there to find out what Dr. Bond actually said, how bad the tower is. And when I say quantitative, these are people who actually did regression analysis. I'm not going to stand and tell you how regression analyses are done, but actually, they quantitatively measured, if you put a tower in somebody's backyard, what happens to the property? And that's what they got. I look forward to this board's decision not to grant this exception. Please, no towers in residential areas because they devalue property. Thank you. I gave you the testimony. That's why I kind of jumped a little bit, because you already have it.
Yes, sir.
We did. Please.
Any questions from members of the board?
No.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for letting me speak tonight. My name is Angela Muncy, and I'm a production manager with Nationwide Insurance and a homeowner in Nolik Acres. I telecommute from my home, and I have Verizon service. I work from my home every day, and I have full bars throughout my entire workday. This is a picture of my son, Alexander David. He's 19 months old. For 15 years, I prayed, begged, and pleaded with God to give me such an amazing, healthy child. Now that God has blessed me with this child, it is my responsibility to keep him safe. I do that by feeding him 100% organically, I practice green cleaning, and I attempt to make relationships with neighboring farmers, including Bev Thawley, to help me manage pesticide exposure to my son. Why am I telling you this? Because the proposed Verizon cell tower is going to be located on a farm in front of our residence, and it's going to be an attractive nuisance. An attractive nuisance is a dangerous condition on a landowner's property that it may attract children onto the land and may involve risk or harm to their safety. We have several children and even more teenagers in our community, and having this cell tower literally in their backyard provides a tempting structure, whether it be out of curiosity or peer pressure. And this is regardless of the fencing. If you understand teenagers, that will not keep them from being peer pressured into exploring dangerous situations. Now, this complaint was a factor in the winning opposition to a cell phone tower between the Petersburg Cellular Partnership and the Board of Supervisors of Nottoway County in the year 2000. In 2008, the National Research Council, an arm of the National Academy of Sciences and the National Academy of Engineering, issued a report saying that we simply do not know enough about cell phone towers and their potential health risks for long-term exposure to RF energy, for especially the health of children, pregnant women, and fetuses. Because so much of cell phone tower technology is new and evolving, we don't have the data of the consequences of 10, 20, or 30 years of RF exposure. In addition, in 2004, the International Association of Firefighters came out against the use of firehouses for cell antenna use because, and I quote, until a study with the highest scientific merit, end quote, can prove that they are safe. Two studies, one in Germany and one in Israel, reveal that living in proximity to a cell phone tower within a quarter mile could put your health in significant risk. In the German study, it was 3 times increased cancer risk. In the Israel study, it was 4 times the cancer risk. The most disturbing data that I have found in my research upon this issue was that the current U.S. standards of radiation exposure from cell phone towers is 580 to 1,000 microwatts per square centimeter. So keep that in mind, 580 to 1,000. This makes us one of the least protective in the world. More progressive European countries have set standards 100 to 1,000 times lower than the U.S. Compare Australia at 200 microwatts. Russia, Italy, and Canada is 10 microwatts. China is 6, and Switzerland is at 4. In Austria, the level is 0.1 microwatts. That is 10,000 times less than the U.S. In New Zealand, they have even more stringent levels at 0.02 microwatts, which is 50,000 times more productive than the U.S. standards. Our own government and health department, individuals as part of that, have come out against the known risks of RF exposure. And I quote from Elizabeth Jacobson, Deputy Director, U.S. Department of Health. And the quote begins, "The safety of RF has not been established, nor has the necessary research been conducted to test it," end quote. From a 2-time Nobel Prize winner in medicine, Gerald Hyland. He's a doctor and a physicist. He is quoted as saying, existing safety guidelines for cell phone towers are completely inadequate, end quote. Going back to the fire issue that our opposition mentioned earlier, they based on the testimony of the opposition that there is a potential for a fire to occur, and if it did, that the structure would collapse by fire. Does it make sense? If this is a potential risk, to have it in a neighborhood of over 300 homes within a mile radius. The Telecommunications Act does prevent citizens from opposing the towers based on the concerns of RF emissions. But I ask you this, what risk would you take with your own family? This is my son, Alexander David. Do you want to have the responsibility for enabling equipment that harbors unknown risks, potential fatal unknown risks for Alex and the other children that live in our community? It is on your shoulders to make the right decision. Please deny the special exception to a telecommunication tower in front of Nolak Acres. Thank you, and I appreciate your time.
Are there any questions from any of the members?
Ms. Muncy, you obviously spent a great deal of time on your research, and it was presented very well, but you mentioned the federal law, which governs exactly the topic that you were addressing.
I understand.
And basically it says that once there's been evidence presented that radio frequency emissions fall within federal guidelines, local boards like this one can't use that as a factor in its deliberations. So with all due respect, mm-hmm. if this board were to ignore that, it would be violating the law.
I understand, but can you take into consideration that the U.S.'s standards is much lower than the rest of the world?
We can't. I mean, the federal government preempts what this board does, and if they ever change their rules, great. But unfortunately, this board can't ignore that federal law.
No, I understand. Please consider the fire collapse issue with
Will
our
do.
Homes. Thank you very much.
Sorry I didn't dress up. Jeez. I've got pinstripe suits, too. My name is Robert Wayne West, and I live at 30106 Stagecoach Circle.
Mr. West, before you get started, I don't think you've been sworn in yet.
Oh, no, no. And
did you have some? Why don't you have the whole second group come up then? Go ahead, your name and address.
It's, Robert Wayne West. You got that? 30106.
Sarah Sickler, 30101.
Don't go away.
What was your last name?
Okay. Do the four of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I was supposed to talk about, well, first of all, you got my name. I'm retired from IBM. I'm a grandfather. I'm a veteran born on the 4th of July. And I guess I have six grandchildren. And I was going to plan on talking about the health hazards to my brother-in-law, who has a defibrillator, walking his dog around a development, or my 89-year-old mother, who has phase two Alzheimer's. She's supposed to do a little walking. So we have concerns about what my friends have talked about, neighbors have talked about, but obviously we can't prove that point. But this is what I'd like to say. Hey, listen, we moved in there 5 years ago. There is this beautiful 20-foot berm that went over a mile. Chief Bill Phillips, who is the police chief from Milton.
Sir, can you talk into the mic, please?
I'm sorry. The berm is right behind this house and went around our development, okay? We bought in there because of this berm. Cut down the traffic, the noise, the barking dogs from Mrs. Fallon, and the smell from the horse farm, okay? About 9 months later, all of a sudden these dump trucks started coming through our development, and I asked my wife, hey, what's this? She says, I don't know. So we called up our builder, developer Fred Fowler, who still owns the roads in there, and said, what's going on? Well, Mrs. Thawley said she didn't want the berm touching her property and for us to take it out of there. I go, what? So sure enough, they took all the dirt out. It took, what, almost a week. They took all the dirt, all the berm down. We, the citizens of Nolak Acres, had no say in it whatsoever. Now, how would you all feel about that? This is in your backyard, and that's why we bought there. There wasn't a cell tower being proposed. We had a 20-foot berm right there. Things were moving along well. Our developer wasn't talking to DelDOT. We had potholes. We complained about that. The second developer doesn't cut the fields. I complained to Joan Deaver. She helped out on that. So we keep going and going. So our development, the citizens of Nolak Acres, we keep being piled on and piled on and piled on. And now Mrs. Thalick stands up there and says she has the right to use the access. We don't have a problem with that. We the farm vehicles are no problem. We love ponies. My grandchildren have petted her miniature ponies. My wife has taken them up there, and we thought we had a good relationship with her to that avail, but none of us in the community would have bought in there if there had been a cell tower there first. I mean, come on, would you do that? Okay, the other thing is, here's my business card, and I want to give it to you. My office is in Rockville, Maryland. Okay, I do federal business. I'm a federal capture manager, and we do millions and millions of dollars worth of federal contracts every year. Okay, this is my address. This is my Verizon cell phone. I got a BlackBerry. I could be anywhere in the world on this. I choose because I'm retired from IBM, and I'm a consultant. I'm living in Nolak Acres because of the quality of life. I got my boat. I've got the Broadkill River. I've got a good life, right? So what I'm saying is, with this Verizon cell phone right now, no one knows that I'm not in Rockville, Maryland at my business address. And I commute my business here.
They know you're on the internet. You can't hide you.
So one of the things my company does, we seize all the assets in this country. Okay, any forfeiture for the Department of Justice, one of the things we do. So with our Verizon cell phones, we've never had a problem in 5 years with our service. Now, if we go to Slaughter Beach and take our grandchildren over there, yeah, I have a problem. So I want to say, and I'll get off the podium here, is if you do anything, where's that one chart? Here, ma'am, there's my card. Here's the chart right here. And the fishermen would really appreciate this. And we have no problems with Verizon, and we're very happy with the service, okay? If they can, like Marvin was saying, if they can move the cell tower just east of us, closer to the bay, where we need coverage, okay? Especially for emergencies, our boaters, I worry about that if I'm out my boat out there. How far do I get coverage? So it's we're not worried about, Verizon. We like Verizon. We love the service. It's just move it where there's where more people can have access to it. That's all we're saying. I rest my case.
Okay.
Any
questions? Next person.
Okay, Carolee. Pakiwa, excuse me. I'll get it.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Carolee Pakiwa, and I'm a property owner in Nolak Acres, affected by the proposed cell tower. Our property is right almost adjacent to where that cell tower will be. I retired in 2004 from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Governor's Office. I was the Americans with Disabilities Coordinator, and I had 32 agencies whose program I supervised. Prior to and after my retirement, we started researching the best places to retire to. Delaware was a top choice. We started in Lower Newcastle County and worked our way south to Sussex, where we found Nolak Acres. The development and lots met all our criteria. We were surrounded by a farm and future R1 developments. We invested a lot of our retirement income in our property, which is one of the highest priced homes in the development. The cell tower can lower the value of my property from 15 to 30%. I will never at my age be able to recoup this. Will the cell tower owner or the property owner lessee give me what I'm losing? In this economy, I would never have invested my life savings here had we known that a cell tower was going to be right next to our property. Also, the other projects we were thinking of doing have now been canceled. We don't want to invest another dime there. Why would you invest any more when you know you're going to be devalued? Besides us is this farm. It is an AR1 agricultural residential. All across the country, federal district and appeal courts have ruled that cell towers should be placed in commercial industrial areas and not in residential agricultural areas. Changing NOLAC farms from an AR1 by granting this exception for this cell tower will set a precedent so that other AR1 land can be turned into commercial and industrial property, which is in direct conflict with court rulings requiring that we keep all cell towers away from residential areas. Please deny this application for a variance from farm, suburban to commercial. There are already enough cell towers that our red map shows in our area. There are no gaps in service, and this company should use alternate sites that are commercial and industrial. I have attached two court rulings and also a study from Long Island, New York on property values. But the court rulings are federal and district courts all across the country, which say that communities should have cell towers in commercial industrial areas, not near residential areas. Thank you.
We have one more.
Yes. Danielle Albanese.
Hello, and thank you for letting me speak. Sure. I am a property owner at 30024 Stagecoach Circle, and most of my neighbors know of my family because we are always outside, especially in the summer, gardening, whether it's gardening, hanging out on the pergola that my husband built, or playing games. We also have extended family that come down quite often because we are so close to the beach that they come down and they stay, and we all go to the beach and hang out. We ride bikes in the development, so we also head to Slaughter Beach, which is one of my favorites to take pictures of nature and everything like that. And I currently am an office manager for Dr. Elliott in Milford, and I'm currently an LPN student at Delaware Tech Georgetown. And it's funny how things work out, because I was taking a human development class and I had to do a project on technology and how it affects the environment. And I did a lot of research, and I, because I love animals and nature, I did it on that. And what I found out was that cell towers kill an estimated 4 to 5 million birds a year. Among these are geotropical migratory songbirds and waterfowl birds. These birds can be found throughout Milford, feeding on horseshoe crabs at Scouts Corner, Stone Beach, Slaughter Beach, and other shorelines in the area. Blind collisions occur when these same migrating birds fly into the cell towers and die. Birds flying in poor conditions, such as fog, strike the towers more often. The lights that are on the cell towers attract the birds. It has been documented that thousands of birds have hit the tower guy wires and become trapped in the lighted spaces. It is also a fact that German scientists have reported that electromagnetic radiation interferes with the navigation of bees. Bees use an internal compass known as a magnetite in their abdomen to navigate. The electromagnetic radiation from the cell tower interferes with this, and they cannot find food or pollinate the trees, flowers, or crops, thus starving to death or becoming permanently paralyzed. This is a process known as colony collapse disorder. It has also been reported that severe birth defects have been found in farm animals living near and around cell towers. There have been findings not only in the U.S., but in other countries such as Italy. The electromagnetic radiation kills microorganisms in the soil, and the organisms that feed off of this become ill, deformed, or die off. Cell towers disrupt this ecological cycle. We must be protecting all of God's creatures, not killing them. And I would also like to say that I, being a cancer survivor myself of about 15 years, I am concerned with the health conditions. That's all I have.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Any questions? No, okay, ma'am. Now I would like to introduce Sarah Sickler.
Sure.
I'm the last one.
It's okay.
Like they said, my name is Sarah Sickler. I live at 30101 Stagecoach Circle. We have owned our home for about 5 years now. We were one of the first that Bestfield built. When we were alerted by our neighbors that the cell phone tower was going to be built, we decided that we were going to try to fight this. And we thought the first step would be a petition. So we collectively have over 190 signatures on a petition from the surrounding neighborhoods and residents of Milford. Obviously, many of your constituents do not want this tower to be built. And for all the reasons you've heard tonight, please take those people also into consideration when voting. I would like to add that I am also a Verizon customer and am very happy with the Verizon service that I have been for also 10 years plus. And I have driven down Route 1 a bazillion times and have never dropped a call, ever. So I don't understand that research at all that Verizon presented. Also, I've done some research, and I've learned that they can update existing towers that they were talking about that may have the 3G capability on them, and all they have to do is turn them into 4G towers. So if that's what they're wanting to get is 4G technology, they can just update the existing tower versus putting a new tower. I'm a little concerned about them using Route 1 as an access road now. There is a ramp that's right next to Bev's land that goes into the city of Milford, and I also take my two small children on that ramp every day, and I'm just concerned we have two very dangerous intersections in our neighborhood. Right outside our neighborhood on Route 1. It's obviously very busy, very crowded, especially in the summertime. And I worry about big trucks, if any, when it's being built, when it's not being built, about the extra traffic in and out of that property that may cause us on that on-ramp. I'd just like to say thank you for considering all of this, and please say no to it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I just have one other thing to note, too.
Ma'am, you have to come back up to the mic if you're going to speak.
Hi.
Hi.
Safety hazards, yeah. The opposition has had many, 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 much more time to prepare than we have had. We got our letters April 13th, and many of our neighbors didn't get them. Fortunately, my husband and I were one of the first to get them, and we got word out immediately to all of our neighbors about this. So we have had, what is that, less than 2 weeks to prepare. So I just want that to be taken into consideration, and also the fact that I'm a Verizon cell phone user, and when I went in February to buy my purchased phone, I got a Droid, a 3G, and my Verizon salesperson said, oh, you don't want to buy an iPhone because they're getting the iPhone too. It's a 4G, but you don't need all that. All you need is la, 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 la. So if that is the whole purpose, to make this a cell tower a 4G, I just don't see their reasoning in that. Okay. And that's all I have to say.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Oh, yes.
It might not happen. Just why hasn't she put that tower all the way to the front of her property? Will you still be against that, too?
Yes, because it would still... My house, I have put on a screened-in porch. I sit directly, the sunset is directly where this tower is going to be. We not only, we have a big sky. It's gorgeous. The sunsets are gorgeous. We have a direct view to the fireworks that Milford puts on at the Riverwalk. We have a direct view to the front of our house to the Slaughter Beach, which won't be affected, but our back views will be. And it's obstruction of what we bought, when we bought it. And the thing that the appraiser cited, that cell tower was there. They knew what they were getting into. We bought, and there's no cell tower, and it's not necessary. It totally is not from, I work from home too. My office is in Rehoboth, but I work from my home mostly. So I sell Kent and Milford, Milton, that area. I never have any problems with my cell phone. And of course, in the car, we're not allowed to use anything but Bluetooth. I have that down there. It never gets cut off. My clients can hear me perfectly clear, you know, if I'm having to talk.
She owns that farm for I don't know how many years. Don't you think she have a right to do what she wants to on that farm, too?
Well, let's put it this way. She sold that land so it could be developed.
Yes.
All right. Our property values were much higher when she sold us that or sold that land. So now you're saying to give her a variance to make it commercial? It wasn't commercial. We wouldn't have bought there. And if that tower was there now, guess what? That land wouldn't be sold. It would still be her farm. And hallelujah. But she chose to sell it to a development where people are going to live. I don't think, no, I'm sorry.
I have the right to put anything there then.
No, I don't agree with that. It's not zoned. And plus, Delaware is an agriculture state.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And our farms need to stay working farms. When, you know, definitely development is going to happen, and I understand that. It is Route 1, and we thought, well, maybe eventually, commercially, it might go to, they might sell out and have a strip mall or whatever, which I don't think would happen because of the ramp onto the old thing. But, no, I disagree with the cell tower there. It's not needed there, and if it's needed, it's, like you said, it's going, they want it for slaughter. You saw the picture. Who was it helping? That pink part, it wasn't doing anything. We get great cell usage. It wasn't really affecting where that is.
I can't say. I'm not an engineer. He's an engineer. Mm-hmm. And he says that's where it goes. I mean, the best place. I mean, I'm not your engineer. Can you say that you got all that coverage?
No, us? I cannot say that. But I can say that I don't have any difficulty using my phone as it is. I'm 3G. Their own people talked me out of a 4G, which who knows what it's going to be next time. But the thing is, I don't believe that in this area, everyone has fought it. And I think, again, I gave you a paper, that the local planning and zoning has to stand firm. Or the next thing we know, we might have 100 cell towers. If we don't, if it's not necessary, why reinvent the wheel? And it is not necessary. If I didn't have good service, everyone in Nolak Acres has good service. I go up and down to Dover, to Rehoboth, and that's why we picked that location. We're 23 miles from Dover, 23 miles from the beach. I cut over to Seaford and all of that. I don't have a problem with my cell usage. If I did, I would complain. So I would like to know, and I'm on my cell phone constantly, I would like to know all these complaints that they're getting. Where are they coming from? I would like to know that.
I don't think they were spending that kind of money, ma'am. I mean, putting a cell tower up and what it cost just to put one up. I mean, I think it must be a needed there. I don't think they're just going to spend, I don't know how much money it costs to put one up, just to put one up.
I disagree with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Just if I could just address one thing Ms. West mentioned, and for everyone out there, this comes up all the time about this delivery of notices to individuals. And I think it's unfortunately one of those every good deed goes, whatever the saying is. That's a voluntary thing the county does. The legal requirements for notification are limited to really advertising in newspapers. The county, as a matter of courtesy, tries to send out notices to homeowners within 200 feet. They don't get them all, but it's not a ground for really complaining because it's really something that they try to do voluntarily.
Okay. Are we all done now with the one that's sworn in? No, I'm in the opposition.
I'm sorry. All right. For the first time, I just had the opportunity to take a look at the site map. Do you know where it is? It's located right behind my house. It probably won't go more than 50 feet.
Your wife already said that.
50 feet. No, Ms. Whitehall didn't say that. I am the guy who talked about the negative pricing effects. It will directly, in fact, the bond study I gave you, I mentioned something there. Bond talked about compensation and damages. If it's going to affect your property. And so far, if you read it, if you think about it, there's no dispute that it's going to reduce property values.
Okay.
Please, I just want to point that out.
All right, sir.
That monstrosity is going to be behind my house.
Okay.
Wait. Look, everybody's had a shot. I mean, you can't just keep coming up over and over and over. We've just about exhausted your 60 minutes, but there may be a couple hands from people who didn't testify before.
Okay. You have to come up and be sworn in, sir. The other gentleman you want to speak to? Okay.
Come on up if you're wanting to talk. Give her your name and address, please.
Jesse Parsley, 30079 Speech Coach Circle.
Jeffrey Schau, 30035 Stagecoach Circle.
You both swear or affirm the testimony about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Good evening. My name is Jesse Parsley. I'm also a resident of Nolak Acres. I really don't have a prepared statement, but I did have a question. With this variance, or for lack of better words,
special use exception,
does that open the door for future changes to that property?
No. Or if this is where the only request for a special use exception is for this specific cell tower.
Cell tower.
Okay. But in the future, doesn't that, well, you've already accepted a tower. Wouldn't you accept something else in that same piece of property?
Not at all.
No, sir.
Okay. Because that was one of my concerns is now you start with a tower and then the next thing you know, you got a liquor store.
It sets no precedent.
Okay. That's the only question I had. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're good.
I had just had a thought.
What was your name again?
Jeffrey Schau. There's a silo over on the farm, and I would like to ask Verizon, would it be possible to hang the equipment on that silo? Would that be sufficient enough? That's all I wanted to ask. Thank you.
All right, sir.
Questions I wanted to ask the applicant.
Okay.
As do I.
The gentleman.
Mr. Tracy, why don't you come on back? We'll ask our questions, and you can refer them to whomever is most appropriate if you want.
That's fine. I'd like whomever would like to address the marketing piece that they put out.
and there were suggestions of other sites available, and I think Mr. Peterson has already answered that. Also, the radio cube technology and last gentleman's silo.
I was going to have Mr. Peterson address all of those points. With the board's indulgence before him, I would just like to have Ms. Thawley briefly come up to address the narrow issue of the berm that was suggested a couple of times.
It's irrelevant to the town.
A factor here.
Okay. For the record, she just wanted to make sure that she was going to testify. She had nothing to do with getting it removed.
And that's fine because it wasn't part of the application. It's apparently been gone for a while, so
okay.
It's not something this board's going
to
really
just wanted to make sure I protected her good name. I can bring Mr. Peterson up to discuss those other issues. I may not take them in the exact same order that the board has asked, but since the first thing I'm staring at on my paper is the light radio cube, why don't you talk about that?
Sure. I actually have the article that the gentleman was referring to. It is from the Huffington Post, dated 2/11/11. And in February, Alcatel-Lucent announced this new product, the light cube, which is about the size of a Rubik's cube, has the antenna and some of the radio guts in it, and it's a great solution. But it will only replace what are now called distributed antenna systems. And even in the article, and I can furnish it
I'd ask you
to the members,
the board a copy of it.
There are some passages that I highlighted here, and they're very important because, like I say, it is a great solution, but it's not going to replace, you know, the towers that we all have all come to know. What is a great solution for is, according to the article, areas where a lot of people gather, like airports, train stations, and sports stadiums. So what the companies or what Alcatel-Lucent is doing is splitting these cells. They're referred to as small cell technologies in the article. As the capacity demand increases, what the network designers and providers do is split the cells. We do this now through what we're here to discuss with capacity, although that's on a much larger scale. But they'll do it in a stadium, let's say, Citizens Bank Ballpark. There's a system in there. There's actually 4 cell sites worth of equipment in Citizens Bank Ballpark. They've broken the cells up into several sections, and they've installed what's called a distributed antenna system. This light cube or light radio solution would be a great replacement for that. A lot of people congregate there. There's a giant demand. However, the sheer physics of it, it's not large enough to affect enough gain as an antenna to compete with, you know, these macro sites, which are designed to cover 20 square miles or so, like the case is here.
In your earlier testimony, is it similar to what this tower would do for the water tower in Milford?
On a much smaller scale, right? In this case, we're splitting, let's say, 40 square miles into 20 and 20. Let's just say, for argument's sake. In the case of the light radio, they're now splitting a city block into half a city block and another half of a city block. And it's great for that because it's low power, which in this case is good because it keeps that noise down. The mobiles are now very close. By definition, they're close to the radio equipment, so they don't have to talk as loud back to the radio equipment. Keeps that noise down. And capacity is through the roof when compared to a traditional site because you've now got, you know, maybe 10 sites worth of radio equipment covering an area where, you know, you previously just had 1 or 2 or 3. So it's a great solution, and it may only be a few years away, and it will replace some of these distributed antenna systems in train stations and ball fields and airports and things like that. But it is not going to replace the macro site solution that, you know, we see and know as towers. It's just the physics just don't work.
I believe a second question, and I'm going to hand this up while you're answering the second question.
Here's the entire.
Related to the silo, which I believe, and Ms. Thawley can correct me if I'm wrong, is 80 feet or less in height.
Right. The 2 problems with that. Number one, the height needs to be a bit taller to be an effective coverage site. The prevailing tree line in the area is probably 60, 70 feet. You need to be significantly above that in order to provide that good line of sight to the subscribers. So for that reason alone, the silo wouldn't work. Secondly, structurally, I'm not a structural engineer. I'm an electrical engineer by degree. However, I've been involved with these types of facilities for over a decade. I've seen silo candidates come and go. The only ones that are ever built are, or that ever work, are the ones that are built as cellular facilities, because typically they're built concrete top to bottom in order to support the load of the equipment and the wind load of the equipment. A typical silo is not built, you know, I don't know exactly how it's built. I'll be the first to admit, but I know that it is not built to support these. And I think probably Ken, who's the site plan engineer, could talk more intelligently about it. But so for height reasons and structural reasons, it's just not going to work.
And an additional question raised by Mr. Mills had to do with the piece from the Verizon website that was shown earlier. And I want you, as you're discussing that as well, because you've heard a number of people talk about how they're able to get good service in their homes, to explain to the board what reliable service means, and in this instance, what is unreliable service.
Sure. The folks at Verizon Wireless Advertising, they are held to a truthful standard. However, what they display is an on-street coverage threshold, and that's what's shown on the internet and in red as this exhibit. It's labeled digital coverage, and no coverage is white, and there's a lack of any white there. It's because there is coverage there. And you may be well served if you only walked outside along Route 1, if you never went into your home, if you never went into your basement, if you never did any of the things that, as subscribers, we expect to be able to do with our mobile device. Contrary to that, it is the illustration that I've shown, which is an in-car threshold, which is the industry standard. This is a mobile network. It's expected that subscribers be able to hop in their car and move. And the difference there is you're going from a stationary RF environment where the channel is somewhat, the channel being the line of sight between you and the facility, is somewhat stagnant. You get into a rapidly changing environment surrounded by steel and glass, reflective glass, and now that mobile channel changes every millisecond. The result of that is a higher signal threshold is required now to serve a subscriber in a vehicle or in a house or in a basement than is required to serve someone who's, you know, just walking around outside, which is what is displayed on Verizon's website. I should add too that it's been shown empirically that 90% of the energy incident on a vehicle is reflected. Only 10% makes it inside to the subscriber in the vehicle. And that's why you have that pretty severe signal degradation.
Did that address your questions, Mr. Mills?
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I got one question. What would it cost to put one of these things up? I don't know if you ever asked that question before.
I think I've testified before, and I can get corrected if I'm wrong, but the cost is usually between $100,000 and $150,000, depending on the type of structure and what goes on it and with it. Is that accurate?
Yes, but that doesn't include the equipment.
Okay, hold on. You're going to need to...
I'll bring Ken up to answer the question.
You know, before I do sit down, there was some 4G, 3G back and forth.
I was going to ask
just for clarification purposes, there is no 4G in the area here. This site is being... as far as I know, I don't think Verizon has done Dover yet or South. However, you know, when this site is built, it will be built as a 3G site and 4G ready, so that when that technology is overlaid through this area, this site, along with all its neighbors, will get the equipment and will begin offering all those 4G services with the speedy network throughput and all that you see advertised. So just to kind of clarify that.
And I'll bring Mr. Farrell to respond to your question, Mr. Workman, regarding the cost.
Yeah, the actual raw cost of the construction of the tower, the site works is about $100,000 to $150,000, but that doesn't include the cost of the equipment or the equipment shelter. The equipment shelter, obviously, is just a modular building, which is inexpensive. The cost of the site is the actual equipment inside, the radio switching, the radio frequency equipment that's in the building, which could be as much as $500,000, plus or minus. You know, I don't know the exact number, but it's in that range. So these sites do get very expensive. So, no, we're not going to put a site up just for the heck of putting a site up. We're going to put a site up that we've done research that had no way it has to be in this location.
Okay, thank you.
I was going to have Ms. Bursler respond to some of the questions regarding real estate values, unless you feel you have enough on the record to deal with that already.
Yeah.
I feel what she presented is plenty.
What's sufficient. That?
I feel that whatever the information she provided is sufficient.
Is sufficient?
Yes, sir.
I guess I just wanted to make a couple. Well, first of all, does the board have any other questions?
Mr. McGabe? No. Mr. Wertman?
No.
Mr. President?
Mr. Mills?
No. No, sir. No other questions from members of the board.
Thank you. Just to wrap up clarification points. The first is there was some suggestion that we were 150 feet away from a structure. As you can see from this exhibit, the closest distance to the nearest setback line is 251 feet. There's no structure on that setback line as well. The distance to the closest houses, there's one under construction right now, is over 300 feet. There was some discussion. I have not seen. I'm aware there's a petition that has been circulated with 190 signatures has been represented. I'll just simply point out that there are 26 homes in Nolak Acres right now. So I think the board would can see that from three sides, this tower is really not bordering residential property other than our property owner and the Nolak Acres to the rear. Lastly, there was some discussion regarding attractive nuisance. I won't get into any detail, obviously, regarding the health effects, other than to point out that this property is independently surrounded by a fence. This will further be surrounded by an opaque fenced enclosure. Obviously, anybody who's coming in there and coming into the compound would certainly be viewed as a trespasser. We're not aware of any instances happening. This board may have heard it in the past, but we're certainly taking all the mandated security requirements to ensure that people don't get in there. Unless the board has any additional questions?
No, sir.
I appreciate the board's indulgence, and I appreciate the decorum that everybody showed here tonight.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome indeed.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the applicant received 5 letters in opposition.
5 letters? Okay. Okay. I assume that is all. Yes, ma'am. I think
one other thing that we were made aware of.
She's not going to get picked up sitting up.
Oh.
You're going to have to come up here, ma'am. And I think our time is about this. Will take the last one, ma'am.
One other thing that we were made aware of when that one guy asked, would there be any other effect on this barn? That the property that has been annexed by the city that was part of the farm, mm-hmm. there is the number 4 site for a possible water tower. Just to let y'all know, I didn't know if the Sussex County is aware of that because it is now in the city limits of Milford.
Now the county won't have anything. Okay, gentlemen, hearing no other opposition and things are closed, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of information that has been given to us to absorb, review, so I'd make a motion that we table this case until our next regular meeting.
Which will be on the 16th. Right? Excuse me. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe. That we table case number 10,795 until our next regular meeting, which will be on May the 16th, to give the board members time to review, read all the information that was presented this evening. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. Case will be tabled until our next regular meeting.
Susan,
yes,
can you
I'm sorry?
When we attend to the decision?
Yes, but the hearing will be closed. There will be no more testimony that will be able to be given. But yes, you can if you would like.
And for those of you that can't attend, the little cameras here were on the internet live. So.
And if you would, please try to keep it down as you leave, because we're not done yet, even though you guys are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.